98 FM's Now That's What I Call Sport podcast.
Nathan Whelan, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, sir. I'm good. How are you?
You're recovered from your trip to Amsterdam. How was it?
Just about. It was brilliant. Yeah, it was really good. Good to see you. You have to go and see it if you haven't done so.
Yeah, you wouldn't know Nathan was in Amsterdam if you didn't follow him on Instagram, because that's all he posted for the last 3 days. So, well done. We are glad you enjoyed your holiday. Now, you didn't need to tell the rest of us about it, but you did.
Leg to stand on with you coming up later in the show, but I'll leave that till then.
Okay, thanks very much. Now, Nathan, onto the serious stuff. The Sunday newspapers are spread and spread and spread with headlines about John Delaney's departure, but it's not a departure because he's not actually leaving.
Yeah, and I think this first headline epitomises that perfectly. The Irish Mail, the back page says, a vice grip, which is apparently, you know, leaning towards the grip that he has got on the FAI. Also, the front page of the Irish Sun, Delaney's shock of Gibraltar. I'm a fan of that one now. That I like a bit of a pun wherever you can squeeze one in. And the back page of the Star says, a rock and a hard place, of course, between the controversy going on behind the scenes and the poor performance has been a bit of a down week for the Republic of Ireland, has to be said.
Yeah, now the FAI released an email last night shortly after Ireland's 1-0 win over Gibraltar. It dropped into our email account, so just after 7:30, and the title is Board of FAI Adopts Senior Management Review, CEO John Delaney to take up a new role. The board of the FAI has adopted a review of the senior management structure, which will see CEO John Delaney move to a new position of Executive Vice President with immediate effect. Chief Operating Officer Ria Walsh has been appointed to the role of interim CEO by the board as the recruitment process begins for a new Chief Executive Officer. But it is fair to say that John Delaney will be quite a busy man over the next few months, and his new job includes the FIFA and UEFA matters, all of those, including membership of the UEFA Executive Committee, all FAI tournament bidding projects, international relations and support, the John Giles Foundation and more. So he'll be a busy guy, and the Sunday newspapers have, it's fair to say, kind of really gone for him. And there was a great photo last night of him outside the VIP area in the stadium in Gibraltar, the Victoria Stadium, on the phone with the VIP exit sign above his head, and reports about, you know, Niall Quinn possibly being the next chief executive of the FAI, and Brian Kerr has had a go, and the Sunday Times newspaper this morning has got a piece basically suggesting and claiming that the FAI have been paying €3,000 a month for John Delaney's house since 2016, and before that, a house that he lived in Malahide, again, €3,000 a month, and so on and so forth. And this all comes, Nathan, a week on from when the Sunday Times broke the news about this €100,000 loan that John Delaney gave the FAI as a bridging loan. They gave it back to him. Himself and the FAI are due to appear in front of the Oireachtas committee about this and answer questions. And again, the Irish football team have begun their campaign. They started with a win, and we're not talking about the match just yet.
Exactly. And to be honest, it could be a good thing that we're not talking about the match, considering how poor of a game it was. But again, the backlash Delaney has faced over the last number of years, considering payment and his role in behind the scenes actions of the FAI, you can tell that people were just looking for something like this, something juicy to latch onto to just try and drag him down, and it seems that they've got it.
Yes, let's hear now from Richie Sadlier, former Ireland international, who spoke on RTE News last night shortly after this news broke.
Well, I have a lot of questions, and I think many people do. Why is John Delaney specifically, why is he no longer CEO? Why was this new role created for him? Whose idea was it that he take this new role? The timing of it, I think, is interesting as well. How much did it have to do with the reports that we read about last week? Reports that we know that John Delaney went to the High Court to prevent us knowing about. The Oireachtas committee meeting, or the hearing that's coming up as well, I think that's really that's crucial. The statement we got from the FAI says that John Delaney is no longer on the board, and the same statement says that the board is going to engage with Sport Ireland and the Oireachtas Committee about all of this. So does that mean that the Irish public will not get the opportunity to hear directly from John Delaney? Will the Oireachtas Committee not get the opportunity to speak to him directly and answer several questions which I think he has to answer? But also, this is supposedly part of a strategic report. I don't know what the merits would be of a strategy that involves the CEO leaving quite abruptly, immediately, an hour after the final whistle, 3 days before a qualifier, in the middle of a controversy, a week after a High Court was called upon to keep things quiet. So loads and loads of questions to be asked.
So if you're to ask someone to sum up the John Delaney story in 1 minute, Richie Sadlier has just done that there brilliantly on RTE last night. The Sunday Times has learnt that the €100,000 loan was required to cover the FAI's payroll costs in April 2017, as the association believed it could not draw down any further money from its banking overdraft facilities. The FAI operates at least 25 bank accounts with Bank of Ireland, according to company filings. And that is a story in the Sunday Times. And in the Sun, Nathan, the former Ireland boss Brian Kerr, who it's fair to say wouldn't be a fan of John Delaney, has had some strong words to say.
He has. He says he has a vice iron grip on the FAI, and he was speaking to Virgin Media. He said, "It's a dramatic day if he's gone from the role of CEO because he's had a vice iron grip on the association since he's been in it. He's made some massive decisions and the association has lost some great people over the years who are not replaced by people of the same quality. There's been a lot of bad feeling about the lack of transparency in the association for years, and I've been critical of it because AGMs have been a farce. The lack of information, the lack of ability of people to ask questions at the AGM on the organisation that their players in has been extraordinary."
Now it's time to welcome former Ireland man Mr. Darren O'Dea back to the That's What I Call Sport on 98FM Bright and Early. Darren, good morning, how are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Jamie.
Now, Darren, thankfully we'll talk about the football in just a moment. We've seen the Sunday newspapers, we've heard the views of Richie Sadlier. What's your own thoughts on this news that John Delaney is now no longer the FAI chief executive but is the executive vice president and will still have a major role in what the FAI does over the next few years?
Yeah, there was obviously rumours kind of as the game was going on of what the statement would be coming out, and I suppose a bit of a bombshell, and it's a bit of a strange one at that. I'll be honest and say I don't really know what it actually means for the FAI moving forward and what John Delaney's role exactly will be. Obviously, it's to maybe deal more with UEFA and setting up certain things for Ireland. But yeah, it's certainly going to be a big change, and I don't think it's going to go away soon. I think people are going to want more clarity and answers to why this is happening, with obviously all the other stuff that's happened in the last week.
Yeah, and from the point of view of the team themselves, the players, we'll hear from the manager Mick McCarthy in just a moment, who said at the press conference last night that everything that's been going on, even to do with the loan, and even last night the fans had some, as usual, anti-John Delaney banners. Mick McCarthy said it doesn't affect him, it doesn't affect the players. For you, Darren, across your time playing with Ireland and maybe in club football as well, was there ever a scenario where, you know, the manager or the owners or the club were, you know, in the news for the wrong reasons, and would that have an impact on players if players were to, you know, be in the match last night and to look over to their left and to see a banner that's having a go at their then chief executive, for example?
I have been involved in a club in Blackpool, for instance, where there was a serious unrest. It's actually only just got resolved now with the owners leaving, and they should have left a long time ago. But in terms of this situation with John Delaney, no, absolutely not. It won't affect the players in the slightest. And it's good to hear it won't affect the manager, but now the players won't, to be honest with you, probably won't care. And similar to me, they probably won't really know what it means. I certainly don't expect it to affect the playing staff at all.
Yeah, I think the one thing you would say as well, there's so many staff now in the FAI, particularly involved with the senior international team, from all the coaching staff, the media team, the admin team, in terms of organising flights for players and hotels and that sort of stuff as well. The players clearly wouldn't have ever had that much contact with the chief executive. So from their point of view, it shouldn't change too much. And what we hope will change, Darren, is their performance on the pitch last night, a 1-0 victory in Gibraltar, in front of the Rock of Gibraltar, an unbelievable setting for a football match from an aesthetic point of view, for images and photos and stuff. The wind, the Astro, the lack of chances, but that Jeff Hendrick goal and 3 points on the opening night is all Mick McCarthy wanted, and he'll be happy. They're back in Dublin now getting ready for Georgia on Tuesday.
Yeah, I thought Mick McCarthy, kind of as usual, was very honest and he was spot on. It was a horrible night. It was one that needed a win vitally, and we got it. But in terms of performance, I don't want to judge the lads too much on the performance, because you could quite clearly see how windy it was. The pitch doesn't help against a team that were just dogged and tried to stop Ireland, and in fairness did so and did well for large spells of the game. But we got the win and got out. But I'll be judging Ireland a lot more after Georgia and Mick McCarthy rather than now, because I think, as Mick McCarthy said, it was a night for professional performance, which I thought Ireland were. I thought they were professional. I thought they did the job right. They stayed patient with it and got the win in the end. But not a night for pure football. That was for, you know, that's for certain.
Let's get the views now of the Ireland manager Mick McCarthy, who spoke to the media directly after the game last night in Gibraltar.
This was set up for it. This was absolutely set up for an upset tonight. This, playing on the plastic, blowing a gale, a team that have been together and done all right and got some decent players. It was set up for that. I said that to the players beforehand. I said, no, we can only stop it. And what I did say to him, I said, oh, you can, well, no, I said to the staff, and I didn't make a fuss of it to the players. You turn up, you win, you get 3 points, and then you can whinge all you want about the stuff. But I'm not inclined to, because we'll play better. We'll play better and lose, probably.
And you can actually hear the wind even in the background there. Mick McCarthy is indoors at a press conference and you can still hear the wind outside, Darren. And we spoke last weekend on the show just about these type of games and the small stadiums and, you know, what the players would need to do to win the match. And they have just done enough to win that match as well. And from their point of view, they'll just be happy to have got the points. And as Mick says there, leave Gibraltar with 3 points no matter how we've played. Would have liked to play better. And that's the one thing. A lot of Sunday newspapers are already having a go at Mick and the players. And just give them a chance. Let them come home on Tuesday, play in the Aviva on a good pitch, hopefully on a good night against Georgia, and judge them after a couple of games as opposed to one match in really difficult conditions.
Yeah, I agree, yeah. Now, listen, give them a chance. I wasn't expecting Ireland to play well at all last night. And as I said, I absolutely want to see an upturn in performances from the last campaign, but I won't be making any judgment after last night. And I never would have, even if Ireland had gone. And if Ireland had gone and put on a show and won 3 and 4, people would say it was Gibraltar. So you're kind of, Mick McCarthy is experienced enough. The players were well aware that they were on a hiding to nothing. They got the job done. They kept a clean sheet, thankfully, from a great Darren Randolph save. But that doesn't really tell the story. Ireland were dominant in the game. They just didn't create a lot. They never looked in trouble in terms of conceding, except for that chance. But that just shows you how quickly something can change. And if it wasn't for Darren Randolph and so alert, it could have been a different night. Got the job done fine. But no, I certainly do agree. Yeah, give them a chance. And let's see what they've got on Tuesday night. But I think it's a massive game Tuesday night. It's another one that we do have to win. But you're also looking for, an upturn in performance, because last campaign wasn't good. I'm not expecting to see an inch-perfect performance, because it's Mick McCarthy's first squad and time back with the squad. But I'm looking for an identity to the squad. I'm looking at least a half-time and full-time. You can sit and say, and discuss what Ireland were trying to do, because that was probably the biggest gripe I had with the last maybe year of Martin O'Neill's reign, was that I couldn't figure out what the team were actually attempting to do from the start and what their instructions were. I'm looking for that on Tuesday night, and I think we'll get it.
Let's hear now the views of the manager, who was speaking just about that, Darren. And he was asked by a journalist if there's been a hangover from the Martin O'Neill era, and he had a little chuckle, and after a good training week he said he'd expect more from the players on Tuesday.
I don't know. I haven't seen any hangovers of anything. I think that they've all come in, they've all committed, the training was great. I'm not going to sit and blame anything. I've said what I thought about the howling gale, the pitch, the team that played against us. Let's give them some credit and how particularly stubborn they were and played well. So let's give them a bit of credit. I'm happy to take 1-0, mate, because momentum is on again by winning.
Yeah, Mick has also spoken about how the decision to play Seamus Coleman right back and Matt Doherty right wing didn't quite work. You can hear that full interview on youtube.com/offtheball. And Darren, the focus will now straight away be on this Georgia match on Tuesday evening at the Aviva Stadium. Firstly, do you think there'll be an almost sellout crowd there, given, you know, towards the end of the Mick McCarthy or the Martin O'Neill era, should I say, there was a definite apathy towards the team and towards the manager? And I really hope, being at the Aviva on Tuesday, that it's full for the players and that Irish football fans come out and support the team.
Yeah, so do I. And we spoke last weekend, and I said that I was actually really happy that these were the first two games, because I think when you get Georgia at home kind of mid-tournament, it's a game that doesn't inspire many people, but it's Mick McCarthy's first game back at home, back in charge. And I like to think the buzz of that and a new campaign, the fans will come out and support the team. But listen, I think that'll be one game for Ireland to create an atmosphere at the Aviva that I don't think has ever been really created. It's been created on occasions, but they're going to need to perform a lot better. Because for the first part of the last campaign, we won games, but the performances were so dull that eventually results didn't match them, and we ended up having a terrible campaign. So I'm looking for a big performance from Ireland, And as I said, I'm looking for an identity team that I see where we're going moving forward. So it's a big game. I think it could actually be a pivotal game for us already in the group. So it's a pressured evening for all the players and staff.
Let's hear now from the Ireland boss for the final time on this morning's And That's What I Call Sport about recovery from the AstroTurf pitch and playing most of the players 90 minutes on Saturday night, flying home, maybe only one training session tomorrow and Monday before this game against Georgia, and the special ice machine that the players will be using to help their legs get better quickly.
Let's see how they recover. We've got the cryotherapy unit when we get back, which is the deep freeze fridge that helps recovery. That's been taken especially for, particularly for this game, but for all the other games. When you've got Saturday, Tuesday, recovery is difficult anyway. Players are generally recovering Sunday, not doing anything Monday, and they're back on plane. So I'll see how they all are, and then come to the game on Tuesday, you'll get the team 90 minutes before, like always.
Now, Darren, a cryotherapy chamber or something along those lines, it sounds cold. Have you ever used one, and how does it help? Because a lot of the players will probably start again on Tuesday, and it is a quick turnaround, and you've been involved in international camps yourself where you've had to play two games in 4 days, and every help needed is there for the players to get them ready.
Yeah, the players are looked after, and even when I was playing, the players are looked after so well. I have used that form of recovery before. Actually, first time I did it was out in Ukraine. You just go into a basically, as you said, a fridge for it might be a maximum 2-3 minutes. It's seriously cold, but it just aids the recovery. I'll be honest, I all these bits are small parts to help. The players will be absolutely fine. They're looked after fantastically well. The physique that all these players are in, they're athletes. So they'll have every tool possible to help them recover, and certainly I don't see that being an issue in the slightest for Tuesday night.
Now, Darren, very finally, you'll be at the Aviva on Tuesday, and it's not often that you've been able to be over at games because, of course, you're still playing full-time in the Scottish Premier League with Dundee, but you're going to be at the Aviva on Tuesday as an Ireland fan as such, and are you really looking forward to actually being at an Ireland game since you retired from international football? I'm not sure how many games, if any, you've actually been at, and you'll be there with hopefully 50,000 other mad Irish fans on Tuesday.
Yeah, no, I really am. And as I said, I have to admit, I'm a little bit nervous because I see it as a massive game for Ireland. We have to win. There's no two ways about it. Georgia home is a must-win game. But I think, as I said, I think the buzz of Mick McCarthy being back, a new campaign, and the chance to really kick on now is in front of us. So I'm hoping, I'm in a good atmosphere, and we see, as I say, a really good performance from the team, and we get 3 points, and I think 6 points from the first two games, regardless of the opposition, is obviously fantastic. And as you heard Mick McCarthy say, it just builds momentum, and if we can get a performance to match the results, then it'll be a great night for all.
Great stuff, Darren. Thanks a million. I'll see you on Tuesday.
Brilliant, Jamie. Thank you.
Now, how would you like to be at the Aviva on Tuesday cheering on Ireland against Georgia? Well, I've got a pair of tickets for you to win on 98FM right now. It's nice and simple. Text or WhatsApp, "Come on, you boys in green," plus your name and where you are, and the number you need is 0877 98 98 98. That's "Come on, you boys in green," plus your name and where you are, and text or WhatsApp to 0877 98 98 98. And well done to Kieran from Fairhouse. He must have had his phone ready to go because his first WhatsApp has come in already. Now, in a few moments' time, we're going to catch up with Stephen Kennedy, Ireland under 21 man. But firstly, it's Sean Maguire, former League of Ireland player, made his first competitive start for Ireland last night, and he'll hopefully be banging in some goals at the Aviva on Tuesday. He's been speaking to 98FM's Nathan Murphy.
Unbelievably proud to, you know, make my first start, competitive start for Ireland. It was tough conditions out there, considering artificial pitch, windy conditions, very open ground, but it was still no excuses. Thought we could play miles better than we actually did. But, you know, to start the campaign, there's, you know, you get no complaints. We have the 3 points, and, you know, we look forward to Tuesday.
It's only half an hour since the game finished up, but have you been able to identify maybe any reasons why you didn't play miles better?
Probably a bit of nerves. Obviously, I suppose everyone has a clean sail with the new manager. You know, everyone wants to impress. I think we made it tough at times for ourselves. You know, they made it difficult. Obviously, 2 banks of 4. And you suppose my game is, you know, in behind, stretching the fences, and I particularly couldn't do that in the first half, only a couple of times. And the first 10-15 minutes, second half, I thought I'd done a bit better in terms of, you know, stretching the fence, getting in behind and creating chances. And ultimately, obviously, Didzy got him behind and slipped Jack through. And, you know, it was an important goal at an important stage. And, you know, all that matters today is 3 points. Obviously, we could play miles better. But, as I said, 3 points is the most important thing.
Do you come off the pitch then happy that you got your first competitive start, or frustrated that you maybe weren't able to make the impact you wanted?
More so an impact that, you know, that I should be setting myself. Obviously, it's great to start from a country for first competitive start. It's a great honour for myself and for my family and stuff. But I thought it could have been a game where I could have saw myself getting my first goal, but it wasn't meant to be. Hopefully there'll be a chance to get that first goal Tuesday night. I particularly didn't really get many sniffs tonight, so you know, I'm not a player that'll dwell on it too much. I'll, you know, gain confidence from, you know, picking up a win today and just moving on.
Yeah, Ireland's Sean Maguire speaking to 98FM's Nathan Murphy in Gibraltar last night. Now, Nathan, early days, but Ireland top of the table along with Switzerland, two teams on the top.
They are indeed. The four teams out of the five took part in the group. Obviously, Denmark yet to play, which would be one of the favourites. Switzerland sit top. They beat Georgia 2-0. Obviously, we beat Gibraltar 1-0, and Denmark are third yet to play a game. That's how it stands currently.
Yes. Now, tell me about the Ireland under-19s, who will be playing in the European Championships in Armenia in July.
Yeah, they will indeed. They qualified for the under-19s championship. They took part in three elite round qualifiers over the past week, winning the first two games. They beat Romania 5-0, and they recently just beat Azerbaijan 3-1. Goals from Tariq Wright, Jason Wright, and captain Jonathan Ofolobi helped Tom Marsoi qualify with a game to spare. A big shout out to St. Pat's man Brian Marr, who saved the penalty to help the lads on their way for the second game in a row, and also Bowes man Andy Lyons, the nephew of the late great Johnny Lyons, 98FM legend. Get a bit stumbling there. The last game takes place on Tuesday against Russia at Krasnodar Stadium. Kick-off is at 2 o'clock Irish time. So best luck to the lads in their last game.
Yeah, and Bowes Ali Ragba came on in that game as well. And Nathan, I got my Johnny Lyons tattoo. Do you like it?
I saw, and I heard that you cried like a little baby.
I did. I cried like a little girl. My JL14 for Johan Cruyff with the Orange Love Heart. Very sore, but I'm very happy I got it. So yeah, thanks to everybody out there in the body studio in Malahide for looking after us in that one. Now on the way after the break, we're going to talk to Stephen Kenny, the Ireland under-21 manager, ahead of their first competitive game later on today in Dublin against Luxembourg.
98FM's. Now that's what I call sport. Get the full show every Sunday morning from 9, only on 98FM.